Hello, Supercoach community. Coming at you here from Lisbon in Portugal. We know there's been a bit of a hiatus, but the pod is back, and it's back in a big way. We know that there's a bit of angst in the community. People are just finalising their teams. They're a bit nervous about Supercoach finals around the corner. But we're coming at you now with some helpful tips live from Portugal. Todd, how are you feeling?
A little bit flustered.
Yeah.
Tough past few days, community, but we're here, and that's all that's important. And we're going to help you with your Supercoach teams at the moment because there's a bit going on. Clary, the pig.
Yes.
Could be missing.
Bit of a spanner in the works for a lot of coaches there. We will discuss that.
The ruck department.
We know it's a cold in Melbourne at the moment, but it's very hot and warm here, so we're going to bring the energies to you, community.
Yeah, it's getting a bit sweaty, community.
And steer you in the right direction.
Unfortunately, we do have an intruder.
We do. He's sitting across from us. He's been submitting a few little bits of advice across the year, but now he's sitting next to us right now.
He did mention before he's a bit nervous. First podcast, he wheeled in on the training wheels, but I think he's good to go, community.
It's the fortune teller. Welcome.
G'day, guys. How are we? Wowee.
Oh, it's big.
It's rather warm in this hostel. A little bit flustered, but I'm ready to fire up,
as they say.
Just quick warning, if we get a knock on the door and some random walks in, it could get a bit awkward, but...
Yeah, that's true.
That's okay.
We're trying to explain that we're doing some...
important work for the community is what we're all about here, but sitting in a hostel dorm, not ideal. Anyway, Todd, this week, I think the majority of the things we'll focus on is just getting stuck into some underperforming players that might need to go, that are on the chopping block, thinking about who needs to go, who we should hold, and who we can bring in for those players.
Yeah, I'm not sure about you, Will, but there's probably need two sets of hands to count the number of underperforming premiums in my side.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. If I had six toes, I still couldn't count all of them on my toes. There's a lot of them, so, yeah.
Jane Short. Shout out early.
Yeah, that is an early shout out for him. Oh, that's right. I'm not about that.
Said it all pre-season, he's got no heart.
Negative energy.
And then he pulls out a 150, lures me in, and just does a dirty on me after that.
I'd also like to just seriously rip into the string man, Aaron Hall.
Okay.
Got him straight back in after he scores 150, and then he does the quad.
Yeah, also share that pain, brought him in, and within the first 3 minutes, soft tissue injury. Made of genuine tissue paper, that man's hamstrings and quads. It's just a disgrace to Supercoach in the AFL.
Yeah, I think you deserve the...
I think he's... Oh, I don't 15? Know. Don't want to think about it. 13,
yeah,
maybe.
You deserve that one.
Anyway, I've got him. I've held him, and he's going to be back next week, so that's okay.
He'll be back for half a quarter.
Yeah. Anyway, before I get too angry, we'll jump into our underperforming premiums, Todd, or unless you want to talk about someone that's on the bubble. We might start there for this week.
Do we just want to recap our scores this week, or is...
Maybe not this week. Maybe just our rankings.
We'll see. What did we score this week?
I scored something quite putrid in the week just gone by. 2,195 for me. Slid down the rankings, Todd. 2,400. Still well above you, mind you. Sean Darcy on the pine and messed up the loophole for the captain. So, not good, and had the string man, obviously.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of excuses. Not really sure what you're talking about there. But, not a great score for TFC. Only 2,280-odd.
Pretty standard for you. Nick?
Got the 2,298. I am ranked 55K. Look, the fortune teller, he's nailed a few things, but he's also stuffed up a few trades this year. But I'll be back, don't you worry.
Yeah,
how many trades are you sitting on, Todd?
Six trades left, and I'm sitting at around the 12K mark. I'm not sure about the community, if you saw the tweet I posted 3 weeks ago, but to be where I am is a miracle considering my ruck department had about 5 Krispy Kreme factories set up.
Yeah, that does
hurt. And just as...
You've got a full team, so you've got a full premium team.
Oh, last week was full primo.
Yeah.
But Luke Jackson, I don't even get me started, but anyway.
Bit of D's bias there with...
It's just Gorney comes back, Jackson gets injured, it's just every ruck gets injured.
Nick,
anyway.
Nick, you've been potting a few blokes all year. You're sitting in, 55K, but you'd hope you had a few trades left, Nick.
Look, community, I'm not going to lie. After this week, I have a Krispy Kreme worth of trades left.
Zero
trades. However, I will be
full. How many rounds are left?
It's two rounds before finals.
So and look.
Do you still have Hall in your team?
No, Hall's gone. And I am full premium, but I have no trades. So, look, I'm playing with fire here. And I just quick shout out to the Wooders. It's a do or die matchup between me and him in our special league. 8th first, 9th. So just watch out, mate.
Yeah, so Lachlan, friend of the podcast, didn't get an appearance this season due to his average-looking team, but maybe next season he can get on.
Anyway, we're rambling away. Sparrows have 7 trades.
Oh, just one quick question. Just one quick question for the fortune teller. Jordan Dawson. Any comment on that one? You did say he was going to be no good.
Averaging
when he was
110 plus.
I think it was averaging 100 at that stage, low 500k mark, and he's,
Yeah, look, I will admit that the fortune teller did get Dawson wrong. Dawson has been very good. I will put my hand up there. Fortune teller has got that one wrong. Get him in if you don't have him.
Righto. Well, on that note, we're going to discuss a few blokes that I just need to be gone from our sides.
Now, Will.
Yes, Todd.
Took a bit of a walk earlier down some uncharted pieces of land.
Yes, there's a few nice bits of land in Portugal.
Yeah, but I did get lost trying to find the abattoir. But then out the corner of my eye, I saw this big, weird-looking Scandinavian giraffe.
And you thought, I'm in the right spot.
I mean, I'm going in the right direction. Yeah. So I followed that, and then bang, I found the abattoir.
Yeah, there's a few people in there, Todd.
Yeah, there's some
Portuguese abattoirs as well. They're a bit smellier than the others.
Yeah, and there's a few weird looking pigs.
Yeah, well, one of them's named.
And cows.
Yeah, well, glad that you can know the distinction between pigs and cows because we've got our cash cows and our, anyway.
Oh.
Malcolm Rosas is one of these people.
I don't even know if he's a pig or a cow. What is he?
He's definitely getting killed, is what he is.
I was going to do that last week. And
minus 8.
He's been left out of the freezer.
Yeah, he's like,
and then the meat's just gone terrible.
He's a spoiled, sloppy bit of meat on the side of a Portuguese side street getting picked up by flies community. He's done. Minus 8. Get him out of your team before he bleeds more cash. He'd be number one trade priority to get rid of this week. If you are downgrading, keep going, surely. First priority.
Yeah, well, Is he playing this week or is he done? Oh, I don't even know what happened to him.
If he is playing, first priority, get rid of him, I reckon.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't know.
Other people that are... It's
not much insight into Roses, but yeah, minus 8.
Yeah, obviously break even will be massive. The other bloke that you're probably looking to get rid of is Ware. I went a bit early on him, so I don't have him, but he probably looks pretty juicy and ready to go right now.
Yeah, hopefully he holds his spot. But, there's massive arguments to get rid of him.
If you've got Aaron Hall, obviously keep him as cover. But, yeah, if you can chop, I would be chopping.
And then the other one, Clark, Greggles.
Yeah.
Old Greggles.
Underperforming recently, but...
yes.
Yeah. Do we have his break even on hand?
It's around... putting me on the spot here, Will, but I'm guessing around 80 plus.
Yeah, so probably, look, he's got to go. So
to be fair, you're not really looking at their break-evens at this point because you're not going to hold them for... It's
more just about it, so they don't bleed too much cash.
I guess you got to ask yourself, if you're doing two trades this week and you're trading out a Greggles, a Ware, or a... Yeah. What's the...
Oh, Roses.
Roses.
I was about to say, naughty word. Anyway, Roses. It just depends which one... If you need enough cash, then maybe you need to get rid of Ware. And then if you're looking to do an upgrade in another area, moving on a spud like short. But then on the other hand, you need to also work out your loopholes. So I know myself, I don't have a defender midfielder in my midfield. So that's where I'm sort of leaning towards trading Greggles, Clark, down to... Burgoyne's the obvious option at the moment to downgrade to. And they'll allow me to... loop a short into the midfield or any other of those Dawson types into the midfield to provide a bit of extra cover. But if you already had that loophole there, then you could trade Ware and cash, get that extra cash. But
We might just touch on Burgoyne quickly. He's looked pretty strong in his first two games, scored back-to-back 60 pluses, 65 and 68. So I don't know. Looks like he's playing a pretty friendly role. Looks solid. He'd obviously be the number one bubble boy this week. Do you reckon you bring him in? I think, as you mentioned, it depends on how many trades you've got. So for people that have almost a full premium team who can just go straight to sidewaysing without actually needing to downgrade, would you recommend that? Or do you think that you should free up the cash just in case you need to make an upgrade
down the track? If you've already got cover on the bench, then save your trades.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially if you've only got four, three, two, one trades left, then we all know that the end of a season is when a lot of injuries do occur and you have players resting and missing. So if you've already got the cover there, I'd look to save the trades, but then...
Especially if you've got someone like Mitch Owens who's a sniff to come back into their team this week. Yeah, I agree. Try to wherever
possible. Bit of risk and reward as well, because then if you do free up cash to upgrade, there are more points on offer.
Yeah, it just depends. I mean, okay, I'm putting you on the spot again here, but ideally, after this round, how many trades, or prior to this round, so we've got two rounds left before Supercoach Finals, after we make our trades this week, how many trades would you want to have in reserve, ideally?
I'd say if you got less than four, you'd be nervous, very nervous.
Yeah, I feel
unless you've got some people, some coaches. I know I was going to be one of these coaches until my whole ruck line just got fell decimated. Off a cliff.
Yeah,
I was going to bring in that 23rd premium.
Premium.
This is a good. This is actually
to provide some cover. Yeah, this is so for those blokes who just miss a week here, like an Oliver this week. If you had that premium there, you could just cover Oliver with a
Well, this is a good talking point. We might talk about the loopholing for high performing coaches. So Fortune Teller can just tune out of that one if he wants to. But no, we will talk about F7, you know, M9, D7 loopholes a bit later on before we, you know, we'll get into our underperforming people that are on the chopping block before that. But yeah, I think where possible, save trades, because as we saw last year, remember there were a few injuries late in the season as well. You don't want to be ending up with a donut.
I think it was Mills and Lloyd went down with COVID. So
definitely want to conserve trades where possible. But if we're turning our attention now, Todd, I know that the fortune teller's got a few names banked up that he wants to get stuck into here. I might kick us off with Jaden Short here. He has been incredibly frustrating. And Todd, look, you did call it pre-season. You said he's been poor.
He's got no heart.
He does have a 5-round average of 89 and just looks lost in that midfield role. He sort of floats between halfback and the midfield. They're really short in the guts at the moment.
He's been playing a bit of forward at times.
Just doesn't look right. I think that he has to go. If you do have the trades, if you're in a good, strong position to trade him, and you can, he's gone from my team this week for Jack Sinclair, and I'm very excited to see the back of him.
Yep, so that is a good one. So I know myself, I have quite a few plays in that situation. Unfortunately, the Isaac Cumming gamble has not paid off since McVay comes in and decides to put their number one forward down in the back line, who all of a sudden just takes all the kicks.
Didn't realise Jesse Hogan was playing in the back line, mate, but no worries.
Oh, but Hogan's no the Berg, so... Yeah, anyway, Himmelberg, he's just cooked Isaac Cumming, which is unfortunate because I could have got Doherty instead. But, yeah, I think I'm just going to have to hold Cumming. And I've also got Ridley. Ridley's lifting, but he's still been really annoying. Was on 80 at half-time, 100 at three-quarter time, finished on 103. So,
yeah, that hurts.
That does hurt.
But other than my back line, my team's looking very solid.
Who else have we got? Except,
actually, I've just remembered I've got Luke Jackson at R2, so... That's who I was looking to move on this week, and I'm thinking about going one down, some Greg Clark down, free up some cash and going Luke Jackson to Goldie Bowls.
Oh, yeah. Does CCJ make you a bit nervous? He's playing in the rough.
Not really, but Goldie Bowls, he's looking good.
Yeah, all right.
I would like to rip into, well, I've got two blokes. One of them I don't have, so I'm happy to rip into him a lot.
Yep.
And the other... Well, I do have him. I've had him for a while, and that's the alpaca, Tim English.
Mate, that's stiff. He's been in
No, I want to give him a good old serving right here. Oh,
mate.
Does the string. Okay, goes out for 4 weeks. I'll hold him. Then he gets the flu.
Why'd you hold him for 4 weeks?
No, it was supposed to be a 2-week string.
Bit of background.
Then gets the flu, which is just not ideal, but what can you do, I guess? And then he gets concussed and misses another 2 weeks. And in that time... He's just pulled out a couple of 80s and 90s, and I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy about it at all. And the other bloke, well, I don't have him, but Petraka, I told the community, the fortune teller told the community straight away, do not get him in. He'll peak, you know, maybe next week, the week after, they're going into finals. And the boys have got him in, and he's averaged 89, apart from that 190.
Yeah.
Now, just quietly, he's the 14th overall Supercoach player of his season.
Yeah, that's odd. Look, as someone that is a Petrarca owner, I have to get in and correct Dee's bias, actually, from Todd, because, look, that's a bit of a skewed figure, because if you actually take out those monster scores, the average is looking a lot less enticing. So is
actually, but then if you take out his shit scores, his average is looking a lot better.
Yeah, but there's more shit scores than there are good ones. So
two sides of a story there.
Well, not really, because if you take out his 189 from, you know, against the Crows, who's playing against a bunch of which is cones, he's averaging 82 over the last five rounds. So not great.
Oh, but you include him when he has COVID, so
he didn't have COVID.
He did.
I don't know where
the 82 comes from there, community.
That's what he's averaging over the last 5 weeks if you take out the...
Does it include the 55 when he had COVID?
No, it does include that. Anyway.
Yeah, so exactly. And the next week when he still had suffering from COVID, anyway, take those two scores out, community. He's probably a top five midfielder.
He needs to fire up. I think you'd be disappointed if you've got him out 5 weeks ago.
He's got a D's Nuffy here on the podcast. Sorry, gents.
That's why you get him.
Anyway, Cripps is the next one, so... I don't know if you boys have... I think you're both Cripps owners, but I'd be holding him. I wouldn't be chopping him this week. I'd be waiting till Mark Pitanay comes back. Vossi has said in a few presses that he's been playing a slightly different role. I'd be holding him until Pitanay gets back.
Yeah, just to further that, I've got an interesting stat to bring to the community actually here. Firstly, Cripps, probably the sexiest bloke I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, so we've got a D's Nuffy in our Blues Nuffy community. Look, I'm very sorry.
I am a slight Blues Nuffy, but I would just like to say in the first six rounds of the season when Pitto was rucking, Cripps averaged 138, excluding when he did the string. Now, that is a orgasmic. Yeah, and I'll say it again, orgasmic. Figure 138.
Yeah,
that is a huge scoreline over 5 weeks. So keep him, community.
He's possibly someone that you might even. I don't know. Todd might have a different view, but if he does look like he's pulling together a few good scores over the next couple of weeks with Pitto back, he could be an underpriced premium that you could look to even bring in if you're a bit cash strapped. So, yeah, watch for that one, community. Gents, we got anyone else that we want to rip into here? Just actually a quick shout out in a positive way to bring some good energies. I think Stephen Cornelio's traded out by these two dickheads. And I think he's been in the top six overall players since he's just took the piss. So looking very nice there at F3 for the Sparrows. But just these boys obviously just didn't see the potential.
No, yeah, did trade him out after he scored a 70 and then a 30. But that is another thorn in the side of the fortune teller.
So it was the beginning of the end, but...
Let's get down to business, Todd. You're looking a bit tired there. Todd's just lying down on the floor of this hostel looking very sweaty. So, sorry, community, the lack of energy. But
didn't really sleep last night, community. It's about 105 degrees.
It's, no aircon here in Lisbon, which is not great. But if you were to chop someone, Todd, I guess maybe in the midfield, we've discussed a few underperforming defenders. Who would you go? Who'd be the first person that you'd flick if you could? If you had the luxury trades, who would you be flicking?
Looking at my squad here, and I must say, I do own Isaac Cumming, who's gone 40, yeah, well,
most
coaches 100,
aren't spuds and don't have Cumming,
and 64.
So.
Yeah, and I'd still trade Short instead of him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Short is as weak as piss.
I would... Gee whiz, there's a lot of aggression from Todd today, but another... Yeah, look, Crisp has... Last 3 weeks, 80 hasn't scored above 80 in the last 3 weeks. 80, 79, 77. That's concerning as well. But
got both of them as well.
Probably, yeah. So do I. So I'd probably, look to trade Short over Crisp because Crisp has historically been a consistent scorer. He'd be gone from my team this week.
Short's the sort of bloke who'll pull out a 40 in the Supercoach final that you need to win.
Not really. If he takes the kickouts, but
he's not taking the kickouts.
Yeah.
He'll just score 40 when you need him the most. He's just no heart.
There aren't too many underperforming forwards really at the moment, so we might have a quick look at some blokes that are playing very well if we're going to the positive side of things that we could look to bring in. So I might kick us off with a bit of a pod. I wouldn't actually... Look, there are other blokes I'd bring in before him, but Luke Davies from North Melbourne, 5-round average of 120. breaking news this morning, obviously, with Big D Nobes getting shafted. So he's gone. I don't think that'll affect him too much.
Davide, done.
Yeah, it's an option.
Top. How much is he, bud?
I think he's about 560K.
Yeah,
so it's a bit expensive. There are other players.
It's a lot of coin.
The other bloke...
You'd rather get Steele.
Well, yeah. So Steele, I think, number one option, I think, to bring in if you don't have him. Would you agree?
Yeah, I've already got him. But yeah, number one.
Steele, other man that you get quite a... how do I say this politely? Quite a... You know, aroused, Todd, let's be honest. He's Andrew Brayshaw. Averaging 120 over the last 5 rounds. Sneaky sniff for the Brownlow.
Yeah, he's been getting robbed over that period as well. He should be averaging 140, but the Supercoach gods.
Yeah, how much is Brayshaw at the moment?
580.
Yeah, so still not absurdly expensive. Steele probably will end up in more teams. If you want a little bit more of a pod, my probably go-to man would be Zach Merritt. So
how much is Merritt? Because I picked this at the start of the season.
577K.
I did say he'd drop down and pull out a few 50s or whatnot and drop in price. Well, and he did that, and then he just ends the season on an absolute tear.
There's a few factors, Todd. So he's averaging 132 over the past 3 rounds, which is very promising. Parrish out. Now, does that hurt him or does it help him? Does it mean he gets more attention, he gets tagged, or does it mean that he's the main man now and racks up more?
I feel like... The Dons are that bad that there's no point even putting a tag on.
Yeah, well, that's potentially true.
Their last 4 weeks have been...
They're in good form.
And his form's picked up with it as well.
Yeah, their next 4 matchups, they've got Gold Coast in good form. They've got the Pies, who have been strong too. Then they've got the Bye. They've got North Melbourne. And then GWS. So he wouldn't cop De Boer, would he? Is De Boer even playing at the moment?
Gold Coast wouldn't tag.
Yeah.
The Pies just never tag.
If you do make it...
And McVay's... Yeah, he's not going
to
tag.
If you do make it to the Supercoach Grand Final, they do play Richmond, who can get smashed in the midfield. So that could be a big game for him if you do get that far. Callum Mills, gents.
Oh.
In a lot of teams, underperforming recently. He's dropped down to... I know he got up very, very high into the 600Ks. Back down to about 570.
16 tackles on the weekend.
Yeah, so he had a great game on the weekend. But he just is so volatile with his scoring, Todd. So, yes, we know he scored 200s and 150 pluses, but he scored less than 86 five times this year. Yeah, so if he does that in a Supercoach final, that could just bend you over.
Bit inconsistent community.
Sorry about
that. It's a little bit... It's a bit graphic, sorry, Will.
Sorry. I don't know if we've got the editing capabilities over here in Europe with the software.
Yeah, Will's been doing a little bit of bending over lately.
Been stretching my hamstrings, Todd. Got a few back problems is what Todd's referring to.
Very tight abs.
Anyway. Moving on, community. Look, that's my input for the moment, gents. The only other option... that I want to flag is Tom Liberatore.
Oh.
Playing very well.
Cannot believe I didn't get him in. I got Treloar in instead. Cannot believe it.
Yeah, but how would you get Tom Liberatore in?
Well, you probably wouldn't get him in your forward line, in your midfield. You'd probably want him in your forward line. If you haven't, for some reason, got a complete forward line, he could be your final upgrade.
No real injuries or anything. The only way it would be is, actually, Lukey Jackson...
If you do have Luke Jackson, that's an option.
Yeah, if you like Bieber. That is a good talking point, Luke Jackson. If you did get him in, are you trading him this week?
What's his break even? I just feel like Gorn's back. He's going to play mostly forward. He's already thinking about his holidays in Fremantle when he goes there next year, Todd.
$12 million.
$12 million over 7 years. $10 million over 7 years, I think, was the offer floated. But
so it is safe to say this experiment has gone terribly wrong because Luke Jackson missed that week. If Luke Jackson played... the week before last weekend and pulled out another 100 plus. He would have gone up a lot in price and it would have been
worth it.
It would have been worth it because he would have made 100 plus K and covered a donut. But Gorney came back early as expected because Gorney's built a little bit different. So Luke Jackson, 65, played, I think, like 60% game time. So I don't even think he's recovered from his leg injury. But I might hold him this week.
Do you have... You don't have a... What if you swung Tim English into your ruck, Jackson into the forward line, and upgrade him to Libba?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a bad call from the fortune teller.
That, I don't think I can afford that.
Or a Goldie. But Todd Goldstein.
At the moment, I'm thinking about going Greg Clark, because if I trade Greg Clark down to Burgoyne, that provides me that defender midfield loophole option. And then I'd have the cash to go Luke Jackson up to a Goldie. I might be able to see if there's anything else around that market. Goldstein does look good.
Would you rather Goldie or Tim English if you don't have...
English.
Yeah.
English is 576,000.
Goldie's not that much cheaper, is he?
Yeah, he's Goldie 518K. I mean, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, Goldie a good second option. We might almost move on, lads, unless you've got something else you want to mention. I just think a good talking point for a lot of teams this week is about Clayton Oliver. So we did talk about this a little bit off air before, but for teams that are needing cash, for the sake of argument, assume firstly that Clayton misses this week. I think if that's the case, you trade him. If you're really desperate for cash, I think that could be a good play for you. Bring in someone like Steele, free up 200K, and then you might lose 10 or 15 points by going Clayton to Steele, but you might gain 40 points by going someone that's 200 or 300K up to a primo that's 500K. I think that could work out.
Yeah, so ideally you would keep Clary.
Yeah.
I reckon he could play this week. He's the sort of bloke you would play this week and rack 20 contested touches. But if your team's in the toilet, doldrums. I think the fortune tellers is in this...
Yeah, look.
Has this problem.
I do have this problem. Straight to Steele I've gone.
Yeah, maybe worth trading Clary to Steele, which I don't really advise.
Why not, though? Like, what do you lose by doing that?
Because Clary, he could get an extra 20, 30 points, captain option each week. He's just reliable.
So Steele, though.
Yeah, Steele's coming off an injury. I don't know. You want to hold Clary, but if... Yeah.
If you're out of trades...
Yeah, if you're struggling.
Yeah.
And often, you know, people might have a lot of... I think a lot of people will be in the boat where they have some spud rookies who are only 200, 250K and they're only going to generate 100K by downgrading them, where you might get a lot more.
Yeah, to be fair, if you're going Clary to Steele, freeing up 170K...
Sorry, Jen's got hiccups, but we'll play it through. Yes, carry on.
Been a bit graphic today, Harold.
Just... Get rolling, Todd.
No, it's all right. We'll play it through. So, Clary, 720K down to Steele. I'll probably free up 170K. And that might allow struggling teams to upgrade a Weir or a rookie to
a Hoff, something like that.
To a Primo or a...
Or a fallen Primo.
Or Dangerfield if you're really struggling.
He's a good option, Dangerfield.
But I've just had a quick look here and a few people trading Clary to Mills. Maybe. I don't really back that.
Yeah, I'd be going Steele.
Definitely don't back going Clary to Laird. That's a bit of a waste of a trade.
How much is Laird? Yeah.
670K. You're making generating. 50K. And
well, if you've got... Yeah, I agree with that, actually. Yep, fair enough.
Yeah, so...
That's fair. Well, look, I think... Unless you've got any other input, Todd, we might just... make our shift into considering our vice captain and captain for this week.
Yes, there's not a lot to talk about this week. I know a lot of teams are struggling with trades. Try and hold those trades, community.
Yeah, hold on to them like they're your children.
I've seen a few people trading out there, using their last trades to even get that 23rd or 24th premium. But there's going to be injuries. You can't just say, you can't rely on there being no injuries for the last 6 weeks or so. It's just never happened. And that's where I'm feeling quite confident having six trades left that I'll be able to make up a few ranks.
Yep. So, okay, we'll sign off before we do consider VC. What are our trades this week, gents? Todd, what are you doing?
So at the moment, Greg Clark down to Burgoyne and Luke Jackson up to Goldie Bowles.
Oh, that's rather exciting, that. Look, I've gone... I only had two trades left, community, and I needed the one primo upgrade required. So I've done the Clary to Steele, freed up a bit of cash, and Hoff upgraded to Danger. Danger, 438K. He's had that big training block. He's ready to go. Geelong are on fire. He's a good little, you know, if you're struggling for cash, Danger's the man in the midfield, so... Yeah, that's me out of trade, though, which is a bit disappointing from the
future. Yeah, now that you've talked about Danger, I forgot who said it on Twitter, but Danger in the last six rounds last season, I think he went 160-plus three times. So if you're up there in the rankings and Clary does miss this week, then Danger will be a very good M9 option. Yep. To just hold on your bench.
And real stiff option, yeah, I think.
Yeah, just leave him there. And if he just goes bang from inside the centre square and pulls out a 170, you can loop him on to the field and gain the extra points. So that is one to consider. Community Danger is quite cheap at the moment.
He is my man that will destroy Wooders.
Talking about trades, what are you? Any trades this week for the Harrow Sparrows?
Very torn on whether to go crisp or short out, but at the moment we'll be short. Short out, Sinclair in, and then Rosas out and Burgoyne in. So swinging Cooper Hamilton in DPP to get that done. So
how many trades does that leave you with?
5 trades still, Todd, after that. So in a very strong position. Future trades looking at potentially offloading Short if he keeps... Crisp, if he keeps underperforming, and potentially one of Petrarca or Cripps if they keep spudding it up. But strong position. Hopefully, we'll have space to get in an M9 like Danger. Might happen next week. We'll see how we go. This week, though, Skipper and VC. Geez, Rory Laird's in great form. But I think Neil probably bounces back, to be honest. So, Neil and Toke, usually fairly reliable for me. I think they'll be one of them as my skipper and VC, I think, mate.
Yeah, so in saying that, Neil 164 in round 11 against GWS this year. 87 the time before that and 150. So he could be hit or miss. Not sure when Neil does play. Does he play earlier in the week? He's the third game on. So Neil of VC is a very good option. And
Took Train, I think, is just hitting some really nice form is Big Toke, one of our favourites on the pod. Last few rounds, jeez. So
5-round average of 131. He's got a slow start to the season.
167, 153, 135 all in the last 5 weeks. So he's a very good captaincy option.
Does have the Dons.
Yeah, if he's got the Dons, I think he's a great option.
He hasn't scored that well. Like, still tonned Dons, up, baby. But low tons the last few times he's played.
Slight smoky would be Jordan Dawson.
Jeez.
I don't know when he plays during the week. I'm just having a quick look now.
He's got the Pies on Saturday, second game at 1 p.m.
Not sure if he gets tagged or... McRae has actually in the past tried to shut blokes down, so maybe not. But those halfbacks, geez, good this year.
Jeez. Trying to rip into the fortune teller there. Look, I'm actually going to go steal... as my vice captain. He's on Friday night. Do or die game for the Saints. I'm expecting a 150 from him, and if not, the Took Train. He'll deliver at Marvel Stadium. That is a must-win game for them. The Dons will not tag, although Caldwell did go to... Do forget, Caldwell did go to Neil on the weekend, which is
that an is issue. True, and shut him down as well.
Did shut him down very nicely, but the Took Train's built a little different, so... I mean, I think he gets the job done, if so. So, yeah, they're the two for the knickers this week.
Very good, mate. Don't mind that at all.
Yeah, so I reckon I'll probably go VC Neil and then reassess, see how the team's tracking, but I might even go the C on Petrarca.
Oh, he could be due.
If he does, if you put the C on Petrarca, he'll score 80. And if you don't, he'll score 200.
He scored 170. 2 matchups ago against Port Adelaide. I reckon he's due. He's due for a big one.
He's due, but
the safe option would probably be... maybe be McRae into Neil.
Not sure about McRae. Getting played off half forward by Bevo, who's just...
Yeah.
Don't know what he's doing there, but... yeah, Token Neil for us. Signing off from Portugal here, guys.
Any final calls?
Oh, final calls. Well, we are in the presence of the fortune teller who loves a little big call.
I'll say mine right here. Petrarca goes 167. You heard that's it first.
Incredibly specific from you, Todd.
and it'll be like incredibly correct.
Look, I'm actually... it's a bit of a rogue one, but I think my man, Sean Darcy... he's avoided him back in the last couple of weeks, and he's actually provided the goods. He's versing Sydney in WA. I'm going to back him in. I actually might flick him late to the captain. 160 plus from him this week. Big scene.
Oh, so geez, good luck, mate. Some big projections.
Yeah.
And we'll get to the Sparrows, and Sparrow will be like, oh, short 90 plus. Come on.
No. GWS do have the Lions, so we're out of form, Todd. very out of form. Canelio, your man, is in exceptional form. He's going to keep that run up and he's going to score 140.
Jeez.
All right.
If that happens again, I'm throwing my phone into the Lisbon River.
Anyway,
it's done.
We're signing off. We might come at you a little bit later from Spain if the community is in need.
Yeah, a couple of pub crawls later.
Yeah,
but,
from Barcelona. But
eyebrows missing.
Yes.
Yeah.
The fortune teller is rocking half an eyebrow on both sides after an interesting big night out.
Huge pub crawl evening happened. But yeah, we'll be back hopefully in Spain.
Absolutely. Righto. Signing off, community.
Fire up, community.
Arrivederci.
Obrigado.
Obrigado.
Yeah. Fire up.